Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
All right, let's listen to what Jalen said.
Definitely does.
Let's listen to what Jalen said about the injuries, injury, and then right to the ditty.
Jalen, how do you feel physically? How you went in the medical tempo? How'd you come out of the game?
It's a tough game, a challenging game. I was able to finish the game and see how the week goes.
Were there separate injuries? Like at the end of the half, it looked like you were slow to get up. You were late coming out of the tunnel, and then of course you had the one that sent you to the tent in the second half.
No.
For this week, you said you'll see how the week goes. Is your status uncertain for next week?
Great question. No, just seeing how the week will go, seeing how things progress.
So you think you feel confident you'll play next week, I guess?
Yeah.
All right, that's Jalen Hurts after the game yesterday. Reminder, we are giving away tickets to the NFC Championship game. We are giving away tickets to the NFC Championship game. The Eagles in Washington, we give those tickets away right around this time on Friday. Friday at 8 o'clock. But you got to listen, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 8 o'clock, all four shows. We give you a name. With the four names, by the end of the week, you can win tickets to the Eagles versus Washington.
And, of course, they are courtesy of our great partner, NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
Eagles a 5.5-point favorite in that game, similar to being a 6.5-point favorite yesterday. Let's talk to the Ditty, Ray Dittinger, after a victory by the Eagles that was nerve-wracking, walking the tightrope, epic. And Ray Ditty, thrilling. What a victory by the Eagles, Ray. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm anxious to find out what you thought, Ray. You've seen a lot in Philadelphia sports. This thing had a little bit of everything. What did you make of it?
It was very nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
It was. Because you kind of got the feeling right at the beginning with that first Jalen Hurts touchdown, you know, and you kind of felt like, wow, this might be easier than I thought. Because I thought all along going into it, it was going to be a very tough game. I really did. I mean, even though the Rams had a lot of disadvantages, the short week, the long trip across country, coming here to play in the cold weather, I mean, there were a lot of reasons to really like the Eagles, and the point spread kept going up all week as a result of that. But I never felt that way. I thought that the Rams were, you know, the Rams had played very well down the stretch, and I thought they were going to be a real tough out. I really did. And then the Eagles scored that early touchdown. I thought, well, maybe this is going to be easier than I thought. But, you know, the fact that it came down and you were still fighting for your life in the fourth quarter wasn't all that surprising to me, because I really liked the way the Rams finished the year. I thought they played, you know, with a lot of grit, and I thought they were a tough team, and I thought that'd be a tough proposition, and they were. But the Eagles found a way to win at the end. So, and then the Eagles, of course, got the huge break on Saturday with in Washington knocking off Detroit, and now the NFC Championship game will be here, which we had kind of given up on a month or so ago. So, so right now, I mean, your season's still alive, and you got the championship game here, and you got Washington coming here for the title game, and it's pretty exciting. But yesterday that fourth quarter, I think we were all on the edge of our seat.
Big time. Ray, can you put into words Jalen Carter's dominance? What'd you see from him, the level of play he's playing at in his second year in pro football?
Tremendous. You know, I mean, and the fact that he's improved so much in 1 year's time is really impressive. You know, last year he had a really strong first half of the season, and then the second half of the season tailed off, largely because he just got tired and he wasn't conditioned to play the long season, and it really showed down the stretch. But this year, I mean, he's played very well throughout, and he has played a ton of snaps. They always talk about the rotation on the defensive line, and I know it's something that the coaches try to do today, but
he doesn't rotate.
No, this guy is on the field all the time, and it's the fact that he's able to do that now and still be the force that he is in the fourth quarter, that he's not just, you know, sucking wind and just sort of pushing and standing around in the fourth quarter, but he's actually in the fourth quarter, he can actually crank it up a few notches when you need to make a big play. I mean, that is really, really impressive. I mean, he's turned into the player that we all hoped he was going to be. And, you know, the Eagles are very happy that they found him still on the board at number 9.
Ray, I don't know exactly how many times Jalen dropped back, but if we're guessing 30, 7 sacks and 30 dropbacks, it's just, man, it's way too much to handle. How is this getting away from us like this? Who is most to blame for the protection issues? It seemed like it was, you know, take your pick. Cam Jurgens almost, it felt like, you know, misses the twist or whatever that was, the assignment.
Right.
You just go down the line. Mekhi Becton getting taken advantage of on this play. Jordan Mailata getting, you know, it's just Lane Johnson. I don't know. It sounded like after the game, Jalen was talking about a simulated snap possibly that pulled Lane Johnson offside. Just felt like the offensive line had a sloppier game than what I've seen in a long time, and I'm wondering if you felt the same way, and how do we fix that?
Yeah, well, I think everything you said is probably true. In fact, the numbers are actually worse than you thought. There were 27 dropbacks, and he got sacked seven times.
Jeez.
So that is unacceptable. And, you know, some of it, you know, the responsibility is twofold. I mean, you know, the offensive line didn't play as good in terms of pass protection, didn't play as good as it's capable of,
yeah,
and didn't play as good as it's going to have to be to win their games that remain. That's true. But the other part of it is the quarterback. And the fact that and he's always been a, you know, hold the ball too long kind of guy. I mean, mm-hmm. if you go back through all the stats, you know, all the Pro Football Focus people and all the analytics people that actually break down the, you know, the release time on the various quarterbacks, he has always been among the slower.
Right.
But it's this is really a problem. I mean, you're seeing it now for sure. And that's something that's going to have to be rectified. And I really do think that it might be time for Jalen and Nick and Kellen Moore to have a little sit down this week and just do a reevaluation of their passing concepts right now, because there has to be a component of quick look, quick release, get the ball out of the hands in a hurry, short slants, that kind of stuff. They have to be, I'm sure they're in the playbook, but they have to be revisited now. I mean, if you're going to get the ball, you have two receivers here in Brown and Smith that can get open right off the line of scrimmage. They can run the quick out. They can run the quick in. They can run the little digs. I mean, those balls that come out of the quarterback's hand, those guys can run those routes. But right now, they're just not getting those opportunities. The plays are just, passing plays are just too slow developing. And, you know, and Jalen has not had much success throwing the ball deep down the field in a while. I mean, he's had, I saw, you know, my buddy Ruben Frank, who does a really good job with statistics, was evaluating after yesterday's game, and he said that Jalen Hurts has 0 completions of 35 or more yards in the last 7 games.
Mm. Ray, is that from, is he turtled? Like, is this Jake Elliott missing extra points and afraid because he really doesn't feel confident in his ability to make any of these kicks? Is Jalen lacking in confidence? Is that part of this?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, he has to let that ball fly in order to complete that
pass. And for what it's worth, if AJ catches the one that he should have early in the game, that's probably 35 or more yards.
Yeah.
And I also thought Jalen had a beautiful throw in the first quarter. It wasn't completed. I forget the circumstances of why.
Devontae?
I really don't remember, but I just remember thinking he had a rocket of a throw that I thought was beautiful. But, Ray, I mean, it has been a slog for a while now in the passing game, obviously.
Yeah, it has. And that has to be, you know, it has to be addressed. Now, the problem is that with Hurts coming out of the game with a knee injury, you have to wonder how much he's going to be able to practice this week. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, there's some things you would like to work on, but physically, how much is he going to be able to work on? I mean,
yeah.
you can sit and look at the film. You can talk it over with the coaches. You can sit with the playbook at the table and strategize and theorize about the different things you can do. But his time on the field this week is going to be limited.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question about that. And there are things that he could be working on this week, but he's not going to be able to. But at least they have to have this conversation of, look, we have to start getting the ball out quicker. We have to start finding routes to get these guys open. Now, yesterday, both Brown and Smith had a couple of drops. You know, I mean, there were a couple balls to each of those guys that
right.
Hurts threw. That, I mean, he threw a fine ball, and they got to catch it. Now, all year that was never a concern. If he threw a ball to either Smith or Brown, it was caught. I mean, you didn't even think about those guys dropping a pass.
Right, but
yesterday that wasn't true. Now,
but the extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, obviously the conditions contributed to that. But that's part of the reason why the passing game is bogged down.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a game yesterday where if you take away the way they compute stats in the NFL now, they take sack yardage away from your passing yardage. The Eagles passing the Eagles passing net was what, 60 yards?
Yeah, 60 something. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So these are all things that they have to talk about and they have to improve upon. The only problem is how much is Hurts going to be on the field at all during practice this week, because most of this week is going to be about rehab.
Look around the league though, and it feels like this time everyone loves the way Buffalo's playing football, and they're not throwing the ball either. Is that just a side effect of this is the type of football that works best this time of year, Ray?
I mean, to the snow, it did change things.
Yeah, I think that yesterday's game and what the game became in the second half had a tremendous impact on that. I don't think that any of that is typical. But, you know, this is kind of where the Eagles are right now. I mean, they're in a great position. I mean, if you're an Eagles fan, you got to feel really good about the fact that you got, you know, your championship game. You're going to be playing Washington, and you're going to be playing them here. And there's a lot of things that you really got to feel good about. But there are certain things that they still have to work on the offense. But, you know, if when you look at Washington, I mean, they're playing so well right now. I mean, they are right now. They've won 7 in a row. Statistically, they have improved in every area.
Hadn't the Rams been winning a bunch of games and flying high, too?
Oh, they had.
Every team at this point of the year is flying high.
Yeah, they had, but the difference is that the Rams were kind of what the Rams were all during the season. I mean, you kind of knew what they were. They started slow, and they didn't play particularly well, but they were basically the same team. The Washington team has just grown. I mean, you look at their statistics from the early part of the season when they were 7-5 to where they are now. Huge difference.
Totally.
I mean, this is a team. I mean, if you look at the stats, Washington in the regular season was 30th against the run, defending the run, which you would look at and you'd say, wow, that's going to be great for the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles go into this and they're going to run the ball and they're going to run it against the 30th ranked defense. They're not that defense anymore. I mean, they were allowing an average of 4.8 yards per carry in the regular season. And some teams just flat ran over them. Not doing it now. I mean, right now, they were giving up 4.8 in the regular season. Now they're giving up 4.0. So, I mean, they have improved that much. And they've improved kind of all across the board. But in that area specifically, which speaks directly to the Eagles' strength and the Eagles' plan of attack on offense, Washington is a much, much better team. That's defensively. You know what you're dealing with the quarterback. You know what that kid has grown into. But defensively, they're a much sounder team, and they're much stouter against the run.
Yeah, no, I think your analysis is dead on, Ray. And I'll add this. The Rams, as much as they played well down the stretch, they did not have a win at the Detroit Lions. I mean, what Washington did Saturday night was really impressive. All right, Ray, two other Jalen Hurts-related questions as it relates to the upcoming game. The first is, if he has a sprained MCL, and we don't know that he does, but he's got something. I mean, he's not right. I mean, something's off. If it's a sprained MCL, how much would that worry you?
A lot. A lot. Because I think if that really is what it is, and I hate to say it, but I think it is, it's a real concern. Because there are a lot of things that you would like to build into the game plan for this game geared towards his strengths and his normal abilities that you're probably either going to have to remove or you're going to have to think real long and hard before you call him, which are plays that involve him tucking the ball away and running it. If you really are at a point where, as a coaching staff, you just say, you know what, yeah, we just can't ask him to do that. Now you're really taking a significant part of your playbook away, and that's a real concern.
Yeah, I agree.
That is a real concern. Now, do I have any doubts about whether he's going to line up on Sunday? No, I mean he will, but I just wonder how much of him will be there on Sunday.
Totally agree. Ray, here's the second question. That's then the follow up. You know, assuming he plays, and I certainly think he will, who the number two quarterback is designated becomes even more important because you don't know that Jalen can finish the game. I mean, you just don't know. Who would you have as the designated backup quarterback?
Assuming that Pickett's healthy, I would be Pickett. I would just lean towards the experience factor and also the fact that he played against Washington the last time. And even though a lot of people, you know, you lost that game, well, you know, I don't put it on Pickett. I really don't. I mean, you know, he got you back ahead. He left the field with the lead, and your defense gave it up. So if Pickett's well, if he's recovered, if he's fully recovered, then he would be my number two. I'll just in this spot, I would just lean towards the experience factor.
All right, Ray, phenomenal, as always, my man. We will talk to you. Enjoy this, Ray. This is special. You know, these things don't come around that often, although with the Eagles, they come around more often than they used to with these opportunities.
Listen, Joe, do you realize this is the eighth trip to the NFC Championship game in Jeff Lurie's ownership?
That's astronomical. It's so great.
Well, Ray, how about this? Eight since the Dallas Cowboys had won.
Right.
I mean, since 2000, and you could go further back, you could go back to 95, but let's just pick 2000 for the purpose of this century. The ledger is NFC Championship game appearances, Eagles, 8, Dallas Cowboys, 0.
Right, right. And this will be the sixth time they've hosted the NFC title game since 2001. I mean, it's been an extraordinary run for this team.
Yeah.
You know, we talk a lot about the coaches, talk a lot about the players, as you would. I fully understand that. We give a lot of credit to Howie Roseman, as we should. I understand that, too. But, boy, I mean, Jeff Lurie's ownership has been really been remarkable. I mean, he has helped take this team, which for a long, long, long time was lost in the wilderness. And you and I lived it.
Yes, we did.
We saw not just years, but whole decades go by when this team didn't get a sniff of the postseason. And now, and now they are just there all the time with the elite teams, and it's a credit to all the people in the organization and the players most of all, obviously, because they're the ones that are going on the field making it happen. But boy, good ownership is such a big factor in pro football, and if you have good ownership, you have a chance. And Jeff Lurie has brought good ownership to Philadelphia, and we hadn't seen that in a long time.
All right, Ray, great stuff, bud. We'll talk to you. Thank you, Ray.
All right,
thanks,
take care,
Ray.
Guys.
There
Bye-bye.
He is, the Diddy.